Welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to think Christianly, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, and to do this with gentleness and respect. That's why your special gift can help provide multitudes of Bible Answer Man listeners with genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI until midnight tonight, Eastern Time. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you, Randy. And on this last day of the year, on New Year's Eve, I'd like to talk for a little bit about the discipline of fasting. While we're considering fasting from food, I cannot help but think of one of the most wicked cities of antiquity. Its wickedness was so pronounced, it had become a stench in the nostrils of the Almighty. And thus God commissioned the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh. There he proclaimed that the great city was going to be overthrown. In sober response, the Ninevites declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the smallest, put on sackcloth. Imagine a prostituted pagan city fasting in sackcloth and ashes. When he saw what they did, when he saw how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion, and he didn't bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Assyria, of course, is not alone. There are many nations throughout the course of history that have fasted and prayed for the mercy of God. We, as Americans, are one of those countries, a city on a hill, a country that has been a light to the nations. Back in the midst of the Civil War, it was Abraham Lincoln that called on all Americans to participate in a national day of fasting, a national day of not only fasting, but humiliation and prayer. Back then, Abraham Lincoln said that we had grown in numbers, in wealth, in power, but we had forgotten God. We had forgotten the gracious hand that preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined, he said, in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that our blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated, drunk with unbroken success, we became too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. And therefore Lincoln called us to a time of fasting. On April 30, 1863, the American people abstained from their ordinary secular pursuits. They humbled themselves, and they devoted themselves to fasting and prayer so that they might have the restoration of a broken country. Well, these kinds of days of national fasting find their precedent in the Word of God. 12 centuries before Christ, Samuel, the last judge of Israel, assembled the Israelites for a national day of fasting. Back then they poured out water upon the ground, and they begged the Lord to forgive their idolatry. Also in the days of Nehemiah, the Israelites renounced heathenism. They fasted. They wore sackcloth. They put dust on their heads. Or think about Joel. Joel likewise consecrated a sacred fast in Jerusalem. You know, the normal human mode of existence depends on ingestion, digestion, and the metabolism of food and water. But Jesus made it plain that there is an alternative energy supply. He referred to this very thing when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Remember his words? Something to the effect of, "Whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give to him will never thirst again." The disciples urged him. They said, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." He understood that the disciples got the deal about food and water, but he wanted them to understand nourishment on a higher plane. They were acquainted with the energy that's derived from food. Jesus acquainted them with the energy that comes from the Father. That is the primary purpose of fasting. It is to experience God as the source, the sustenance of life that is truly life. He wants us to taste the heavenly manna, to drink divine water, so as to never thirst again, to recognize union with Christ as the apex of human existence. As we behold him, we become what we are designed to be, Christians growing in his image, Christians being transformed into his likeness. Fasting has all this and much more to commend it. You might recall in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually placed fasting on par with prayer and almsgiving. It was an act of righteousness, not to be seen by men, but by our Father, who sees what is done in secret. In fact, prayer, almsgiving, and fasting are inextricably woven as one. Fasting opens our hearts to so many things, including the needs of the poor and downtrodden. I want to talk about that when we come back from the break, but right now I want to mention that I have written about fasting in a lot of detail in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. In this book, I talk about spiritual disciplines that are transformational. This is not just talking about the Christian life. This is being conformed to the image of our Creator. It's a powerful concept. And although most Christians don't fast anymore, perhaps a majority don't, even people within whose tradition fasting is so important they neglect it, it's one of those disciplines that truly can transform your life. In fact, at the beginning of this year, I was promoting a book by Jay Richards. It's titled Eat, Fast, Feast. It's a Christian guide to fasting, which will heal your body while feeding your soul. It's a remarkable book. I read it at the beginning of the year, and I'm in the process of reading this book again. Because sometimes you forget the very things you need to remember, and you lack the discipline to continue what you started. If you have the book, read it again. If you don't have the book, get a copy. It's available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And on that note, I also want to mention how grateful I am for all of you who support this ministry, who faithfully, month in, month out, give to a ministry that is truly making a difference for time and for eternity by focusing not only on truth, but also on life. You know, truth without life ends up being empty. We're not talking about a prohibition of knowledge here. We're talking about the surpassing of knowledge, the surpassing of all philosophical speculation. Well, I want to talk more about fasting when we come back from the break, so please don't touch that dial.
Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, you help strengthen many who need guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong and prepared to bring you even more life-changing resources in 2021. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment with more reasons to believe. The Call of the Cosmos is an unforgettable exploration of God and the universe. This fascinating film begins with a voyage from Earth to the edge of the observable universe, 45 billion light years away. Through a series of visually stunning vignettes, the filmmakers invite you to consider the origin and structure of the cosmos, along with our significance within it, the mysteries of solar eclipses, an agnostic astronomer's honest recognition of the supernatural designer, and the convergent revelations between nature and scripture. Produced by Illustra Media, this stunning film provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, putting atheists, agnostics, and philosophers alike on notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. As our world concludes one of the most turbulent and trying years in our lifetime, consider the famous lines from C.T. Studd's poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." For those of us who have set our hearts and eyes on eternity, that's an important reminder. Please partner with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today on New Year's Eve, I'm talking maybe counterintuitively about the discipline of fasting, but I'm doing so because I hope that you will think about implementing this discipline in 2021. I've written about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and also recommended before the break a book titled Eat, Fast, Feast. Fasting is a many-splendor discipline. And as I said before the break, it opens our hearts to the needs of the poor and the downtrodden. I'm also thinking about a series of sermons that has been very impactful in my life. A series of sermons in which the revered Cappadocian Father St. Basil exhorts us to walk through history and then to investigate the ancient origins of fasting. He said that all the saints have protected it like an inheritance passed down from the fathers. They in turn passed it down like a father passing something down to a child, as Moses, Elijah, as Jesus fasted 40 days, so the church, from its earliest days onward, has fasted 40 days in spiritual preparation for the festival of the Lord's resurrection. That's just one example. There are many other fasts that have been carried on in the liturgical calendar. During those 40 days, in preparation for the festival of the Lord's resurrection, our Lord's words concerning fasting remain foremost in our thoughts, at least they should. Jesus said that fasting is never for outward appearances. Hypocrisy is repugnant to him. But when your fasting is attended by purity of heart, you will be fully rewarded by your Father in heaven. As such, Jesus weaves fasting together with prayer and almsgiving as a triple braided cord connecting us to our Father who is in heaven, as well as your own flesh and blood who are on earth. When you fast, your prayers will rise up as a sweet-smelling savor. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." The genuine love of God will inevitably stimulate a reciprocal love for needy human beings who bear his image, who bear his likeness upon this earth. And when this is so, God will infuse you with his uncreated energy. He'll give you the power to do something about it. Though your stomach may be empty, your spirit will be fully satisfied, enlivened. You will experience the life of God springing up within you like a river of living water. If we're satiated with food and drink, we are prone to a false sense of self-sufficiency. We're easily blinded to the needs of those lacking the basics of life, including bread and water. But in fasting, we're refashioned as the poor in spirit. We're illumined to our dependence on God and to the needs of those fashioned in his image and likeness. As we fast, we are reminded that he is the bread of heaven and that his body was broken so that we may even now experience the life that is truly life. Fasting, you know, is a many-splendor discipline. It not only satisfies the spirit, but it is strong medicine for the body. St. Basil, I love what he says, and I quote him prolifically in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. But he has enumerated the many benefits of fasting. In one memorable line, he said, "What's easier to the stomach? A plain diet that carries you through the night? Or rich foods that weigh you down like a rock when you lie down?" In fact, he used a merchant ship as an apt illustration. He said, "A merchant ship is far safer and more maneuverable when light than when excessively weighed down. The ship completely loaded down is sunk by a minor swell in the waters. But the boat that has a captain smart enough to toss overboard extra weight will ride high above even surging waves." And so it is with overindulged bodies. A person gets absorbed with filling up, getting weighed down until finally falling into ill health. But those who are well-equipped, light, and truly nourished avoid the prospect of serious disease. They are like the boat in stormy weather that goes right over the dangerous rocks. While luxury forces them to bear burdens by carrying their enjoyments around, fasting prepares them to be light and unencumbered. St. Basil said, "The stomach ought to give a vacation to the mouth. It never stops demanding. And what it takes in today is forgotten tomorrow. Whenever it's filled, it philosophizes about abstinence. Whenever it is emptied, it forgets those opinions. How foolish to dig a grave with your own knife and fork. A full belly not only makes running a race difficult, it even makes sleep tough. When you're weighed down, you can't find a way to rest, and then you're forced to continually turn from side to side. The stomach is like an undisciplined child. It forever demands its fill of empty calories. But the discipline of fasting, well, it restores balance and self-control." St. Basil said that one fasting has a gentle eye, a calm gait, a thoughtful face. There's no intemperate, arrogant laughter, but rather fitting speech and purity of heart. Remember the saints of old, he said, of whom the world was not worthy, who went around in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Remember their mode of life. If indeed you are seeking after the same inheritance as them. With all that fasting has to commend it, the question that remains to be answered is, how can we celebrate this discipline for the remainder of our lives? Well, let me just say one thing in that regard. As with the memorization of Scripture, I have found it exceedingly helpful to set small, attainable goals. Why? Because willpower is insufficient to eradicate the layers of sin embodied in our habits. Living disciplines can do what force of will, therefore, cannot, and fasting is certainly one of them. Again, I've written about such living disciplines in detail in Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And once again, I cannot recommend more highly the book Eat, Fast, Feast. It would be a great way for you to start the new year. Both of these books are available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. As we draw this broadcast to a conclusion, I do want to take just a moment to say thank you to all of you who have prayed for my health in the last few years, particularly in the year 2020. I just went to the doctor. I had a CT scan and blood work, and I have no sign whatsoever of the cancer. And I attribute that to the faithfulness of your prayers along with the mercies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you for your prayers and also for your support of this ministry. It's so vital. This is a word of truth injected into a pagan culture. You are making a difference. Thanks for your prayers, for your financial support. I wish you a happy and blessed new year, one in which you practice disciplines that are transformative. God bless you. Look forward to be with you again in 2021. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, engage with social media, or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the other outreaches of the Christian Research Institute exist to help you defend your faith against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end when it's essential to ensure CRI's outreaches will advance at full strength into 2021. To help us continue equipping you to stand strong, call now before the year ends. 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. That's equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
You have to see it to believe it. The breathtaking film, The Call of the Cosmos, takes you to the edge of the observable universe. Watching the universe unfold before your eyes will evoke a sense of wonder and leave you convinced that a creator is responsible for the exquisite fine-tuning of the cosmos. The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a designer. If you're already a believer, watching this film will affirm your faith in the Alpha and Omega, while also offering an overwhelming evangelistic opportunity to convince the skeptic in your life that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.